We need preaching. Preaching's what's going to get you through tomorrow. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm glad tonight, as the black folks say, we got a Word church. Thank God we've got the Word of God. A King James Word. For there is no other Word. I praise God tonight. You pray for this dear preacher as he comes. Spend a lot of glory around here tonight. I'd ask you to pray for the Word. God, give us something in our hearts tonight. Dr. Elwood Seamster from Clover, South Carolina, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. You hear him well tonight. Come, preacher, and preach. You take all the time you need. I appreciate this man of God, how the Lord used him across this country. And you pray for him tonight. I love you, preacher.
God bless you. Job 42. I'll not spend time tonight telling you who I am. I'm a nobody. We just want to brag on him. I do count it an honor to be here. I count it an honor to be with God's people. And I'm thankful I've got a God that knows where I'm at. Job 42 in verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. He recognizes his omnipotence and his omniscience. We have an all-powerful God. We have an all-knowing God. We have an everywhere present God, so wherever you are tonight, he knows where you're at. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now. But now, mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For you have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job has. A lot of speaking about what God's saying and God's not saying it. A lot of things going on in our generation that so-called preachers are saying, thus saith the Lord, when God's nowhere around it. Before I go any further, God will never go against His Word. I'm glad that the book of Job winds up like it starts off. With Job being a servant. 42 chapters later, he's still a servant. Sounds like to me he's a God that keeps. Sounds like to me he's a God that knows what's going on. Yeah. Sounds like to me he's a God that doesn't kick you when you're down. Yeah. But extends his arm and lifts you up in his loving kindness and his mercy. Yeah. Thank God for his grace that is seen. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job. And offer up yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. I bet that really hurt him. For him will I accept. We have a lot in our day, and you can go ahead and mock me to start with. We have a lot in our day that believe they have to accept the Lord. I hear that term all the time. You better pray to God, God accepts you. God says, I will accept. Lest I deal with you after your folly. We better pray to God. God will never do that to any of us. Amen. And that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and so far the Naamathite, went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord always also accepted Job. And verse 10 says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. I'll leave off reading there, and we will attempt tonight to try to help you through this book. There's much to be said. Much could be said, much has been said, and much has not been said, for you will never dig in the entirety of what God has for His people in His inspired, inerrant, unadulterated Word of God. Now, Father, we thank You tonight that we can come once again to the divine throne of grace. We stand in need tonight of a touch from heaven. Lord, may they not see this preacher. But may we hear from the sovereign God that's ordained and ordered this place tonight. That child of God that may be suffering, that individual that may be fighting hell by the acre, that preacher that may be discouraged, down and out, may we get our eyes off of our situation. Off of ourself, off of Satan, and get them on the sovereign God of heaven. Touch us again now, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Move in this place. Blessed Holy Ghost, breathe upon this place tonight. We'll thank You and praise You. We plead the blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. The verses that I've read to you tonight have been comforting verses to many of God's children, yea, all of God's children, at one time or another. They are words that would be well worth our benefit to examine. As I say from my hometown, chew the cud on. Be well to memorize. Meditate. Let it soak in. We are hearing about God all over this country. False gods. But when you see the real and the true God, it's a big difference. Job is a saved man in chapter 1. But Job does not get where God wants Job to get until chapter 42. I've been saved 36 years going on. Got a long ways to go. But I'm thankful for where God's brought me from. When we look at Job chapter 42 and verse 5, he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. 42 chapters have passed. A lot of water has run under the bridge. A lot of trials have come. A lot of troubles have taken place. A lot of misunderstanding, misconceptions. A lot of characterizing, a lot of conduct, a lot of sayings, a lot of thoughts, a lot of what people thought it was. whole lot of times we'd be a whole lot better off keeping our mouth shut if we don't know what we're talking about instead of what we think. Job shows us what happens to a man that suffers, but as I have said before, I do not believe that God intended for us to put Job in the spotlight. I believe God intended to put God in the spotlight. I believe that it's a sovereign God that this book talks about, that this book zeroes in on, that this book wants us to look to know that in your situation, no matter who you are, where you come from, God is in control of it. Job is a very interesting character. I hadn't been saved too awful long before I realized that being saved was not all joy. It was not all a good hayride. It was not all that I thought it was. I got up shouting and praising God and saying amen and didn't even know the language. Sometimes I used to say hot dog, but anyway, I was doing it for the glory of God. Going along just fine, taking off and taking the flight. Nobody could tell me anything. Knew it all. If you didn't agree with me, you were sorry and on your way to hell. You just need to get saved. That's all it was to. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It won't long in my Christian life before I realized that this God I'd heard about was something else. That this God that had done a work in my heart and saved my sin-cursed soul, thank God, wanted something more of me than what I thought He wanted of me. When we begin to understand why God saves us, we realize that the Christian life is not all glory, hallelujah. Now, we are basking in the glory tonight. I'm not trying to kill it, and please don't shut up. I mean, keep it going. It's not all glory, hallelujah. Now, sometimes when the blessed Holy Ghost breathes upon us and sweeps through a place and puts a holy hush on that place and gets your attention to show you that it's not all about shouting. You're going to find out, if you've been saved for any amount of time at all, you already know this. Life is full of trouble. Life is full of trials. Life is full of hell itself. Job was minding his own business, just as you probably are doing. Job's furthest thing from his mind was what he was going to be faced with that morning when he got up. Job was a man that loved God. He was a man that was saved. You can look at chapter 1 for the sake of time. I'll not go back and deal with all of that. But the four things that you need to see in Job chapter 1 is that his position before God is right. He was perfect. He was complete. He was a man that God had done a work in. I don't know all it is to know about the salvation aspect of all the stuff, but I do know this. It was God that turned him around. I do know this. It was God that had met with him. I do know this. God had talked to him that day and God had spoken to him and he knew about a sacrifice. They did not have the written word of God, but he had God's word. Job says, could be that my children done something I need to pray for them about. That's a priestly aspect. His priestly aspect. He was a priest of that house. You and I are priests today. Thank God we don't have to go to somebody that's dressed like mama and wants to be called papa. Thank God we can go directly into the throne of grace. We can talk to our God and our God can talk to us. But Job says, I'm going to pray for him. I'm building up to something. Stay with me. There is the position before God. Then there is his condition before man. He was upright. He was straight. If you talk it, walk it. Then there was his disposition before himself. He feared or reverenced God. Lord knows there's not too much of that going on in our day. And then his opposition, he eschewed evil. You can rest assured, dear friend, that when you start to go for God, the devil's not going to set easy. Let me say first of all that Job sees something. He says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of thy ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. What does Job see? The first thing that Job sees tonight is he sees a God that saves. You won't go any further with God until you first of all get saved. You can't do anything for God, and you can't be called a servant of God until you've been born into the family of God. And by the way, I'll put you at ease right now. You didn't go looking for Him. You better thank God every day of your life when your eyes open in the morning that God stopped over at your place. Don't you try to figure this thing out. Don't you try to say, well, I wonder what he believes. You just said, glory be unto God. Lord, I'm glad you showed me what it was. I'm glad that you found me. I'm glad that you freed me. I'm glad, thank God, you picked me up, you loosed me, and you set me free, and you saved my soul. What does Job see? Job sees the God that saves because he believes right. Job's belief is looking to Jehovah God, not to the idols of Egypt. Not to the eastern idols. Not to all these things, but to the God that requires a sacrifice. If you get to God tonight, it'll be because of the greatest sacrifice that's ever been presented. God Himself, Jesus Christ, our precious Lord, shedding His precious blood for you on Calvary that we could come to the throne of grace when He draws us. Could I say this to you? I don't know how long Job had been saved, but he gives that sacrifice, and before he gets back to the house, the messenger of Satan arrives. That messenger better thank God whether he did or not, because he was used to deliver, here it comes, bad news. Can anything else happen while he was yet speaking? Bad news again. Can anything else happen while he was yet speaking? Bad news again. While he was yet speaking, bad news. Surely, Job is having an eye-opening experience now. And Job looks at the God that saves. His belief is on the line because he has a life. He's not dead anymore. He's made alive in God. He has a life. He's looking to it. And Job realizes that storms enter. You may not be in one. Hang on. If you are saved, storms are going to enter into your life. He sees the God that saves. While he was yet speaking, Job, his wife says, why don't you just go ahead and curse God? I'm going to tell you, when your mate gets against you, you're in trouble. I like what Job said. He had backbone enough to stand up and say, what do you talk like a foolish woman? Let me give you the Seamster rendition of that. You're talking like a fool. What, are we going to serve God and trust God when we're on the mountaintop shouting it out and got beans for supper? You think we're going to serve God and shout it out when everything's going good and the first little trial that comes our way, then bless God, we're going to throw in the towel, forget all about it, and say we're going back another way? Absolutely not. Praise God, I'm going to serve my God. I'm telling you tonight, you get ready. Storms will enter your life. But Job sees something else. It's more to this thing of being saved than just sitting on a church pew. It's more to this thing of saying, I'm going to heaven. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. It's more to it than that. You don't work your way. God works it for you. But if you're a servant, call my servant Job. You're going to look to the God that saves. And you'll see Him after you go through these things. Remember now, 42 chapters before this is said. How many years would we have to go pastoring and crying and weeping if only God's people had a clue of what the average man of God had to go through in 1 week of being in the ministry? It make them prayer warriors for God that they would never forget. They would pray for that man of God, hold his hands up, and boy, they'd do for him what they'd never done before. Job was going through some trials. He's going through some troubles. Boy, he wasn't thrilled. As a matter of fact, chapter 3, chapter 2, last verse in chapter 3, verse 1, it says that Job sat there for 7 days and 7 nights without saying a word. There's sometimes when you can't figure out why God's doing what He's doing. There's sometimes when I don't have an answer. I had an individual come to me about 3 weeks ago, asked me a profound question. She knew her pastor had to answer. When I was a young pastor, I could have told her. I backed up and looked and scratched my head. I said, tell you the truth, sister, I don't have a clue. I said, but that don't matter. If you're saved, you're still going to heaven. But I will check it out for you. And if I can find somebody that agrees with what I think it does, I'll give you the answer. Let me give you a little thought. I wonder what Job was thinking. Well, I'll go down to the church and give this testimony about walking away from them 10 graves. And I'll stand up and tell everybody how strong I am. And tell everybody how I appreciate, boy, God letting me go through this. I'm going to tell you something. I don't appreciate going through trials.
Amen. Boy, you tell the truth.
I'm telling you right now. You can act spiritual and super spiritual all you want to. I hate them. I like it to be on the mountaintop. I like to be standing up out, shouting it out in the glory coming down. I like to go into church on Sunday morning, no problems whatsoever. I don't know when the name of God that'll be, but I like it like that. Job says, hey, I'm seeing. I believe he was thinking some of the wrong things, because right after that he said he cursed the day he was born. Better watch your mind, it'll play tricks on you. Secondly, Job says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. The word. But now I see. I see the God that saves. What a belief. My life is right. But storms enter in. But then he says, I see the God that strengthens. When you believe right, you're going to have battles. Job had battles. He had battles with the family. He had battles with the friend. He had battles with the foe. He had battles with the father. He had battles with everybody that come into contact with him. Because when you are going through a trial, you are not as spiritual as you think you are. The only thing good about you tonight and me and any of God's creatures on this earth is the Spirit of the living God that's in us that saved us the day that God birthed us into the family. We still have this thing called the flesh. It was not eradicated when the day God saved us. Thank God we have the victory. Thank God we can submit to Him. Thank God it does not have to dominate us. But I'm saying thank God we have a deliverer that will see us through and He will strengthen us in our battles. I don't know what battles you're facing tonight. I don't know but 5 or 6 people here. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You just got different faces. Same problems. It's all over this country. Job saw the God that overrules. He saw the God that overrides. He saw the God that oversees. Circumstances, confusion, criticizing. Job begins, when the storm enters in, the battle rages. Job realizes that storms do exist. It's not all glory, hallelujah. More than one time, I've said, why? I had a young girl come to me, godly young lady, married her mother and daddy. The child was born, finished school. I've been the only pastor she's ever had. She came to me one night, tears in her eyes. And she said, why is it that children are having children, leaving them in the bathroom? And I'm begging God for a child, and God won't let me have one. I looked at her, and this is straight from heaven. I said, honey, I don't have the answer, but I do tell you this, God's too good to do wrong and too wise to make a mistake. And I do know it's up to God when God does that, and God will do it when He wants to in His timing. And by the way, God can see down the end of the road where you and I can't see. God sends these battles and allows these battles that we may see the God that strengthened us and realize that the storms do exist. Job's life, he starts out with God. But quickly after he starts out with God, there's Job's Gethsemane. That's where he goes alone. That's where his friends can't help him. That's where his wife can't help him. That's where no one can help him but the Word from God. That's the only one that can help him. It's the God that's above. And then, blessed be God, he chooses to remain silent. Jesus sweat great drops of blood. Not to get out of dying, God knows. That's what he come to this world for. He was not in the dark about anything. He knew he come to seek and to save that which was lost. You don't have to agree with me, but I believe what the Lord was saying, if be any other way, he was not talking about the cross. I believe he was talking about the broken fellowship that had been since eternity past. And for 3 long hours that day would be broken because he took your hell and took everything for you. I'm going to tell you something else. He's not going to heaven to prepare you a mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions. I want you to know, I don't care, know what kind of Bible you got, probably the right kind you're here. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If your Bible does not say mansions, throw it away and get you a Bible. Had one of that liberal crowd come up to me in Clover one day and says, well, what difference does it make long as we go? I said, it makes a whole lot of difference. I said, let me explain something to you, you ignoramus. I live in a house. Got 4 or 5 rooms. It's a house across the road from me. It's like a castle. And I say, I'm comfortable in my place. I like my place. And for the taxes I pay on it, it's enough. And I'm going to tell you, it's a big difference between my house and that house that sits over there. It's got about 3 stories. 4-car garage and all that stuff ran in it. I said, would you rather live in a mansion or a 1-room house? In my Father's house are many mansions. God's not preparing that and not preparing you. No. It's already there. When he says, I go to prepare a place, he went to Calvary. You're going to heaven because of Calvary tonight. You're going to heaven because of what he's done for you. But that does not exempt you from the storms because battle is going to rage. I mean, it's going to come. You're going to go through it. They come to strengthen you, to make you look at your God and say, I've heard of Him, but now I see what God's talking about. He leaves his Gethsemane and goes to Calvary. He recognizes the God that schools. The God that saves is the God that strengthens. And the God that strengthens is the God that schools. You're in school. He's teaching you valuable lessons. No matter what you're up against today, Satan had to go to the throne, present himself along with the sons of God, and get permission. And I love it when God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Ghost ask the question. It's never for their benefit. They already know it all. It's always for your benefit and for my benefit. Don't you think for one moment God didn't know that Satan didn't have his eye on Job? Hast thou considered my servant Job? God knew ahead. Make it real quick. The next chapter he asked him the same thing. It so dumbfounded the devil that Job didn't fall. He said it shut his mouth up for the rest of the Old Testament. You don't go run your mouth to God unless you know what you're talking about. Job says it's one thing for the storm to enter. It's another thing that I realize they exist. But oh God, when they explode. I don't know what you're up against tonight. But the same God's here is in clover. I don't know what battle you're facing tonight. But I'm glad He's already won it. You may feel like you're on your last leg. You may feel like the last step. You can't even put one step in front of the other. You've heard people shout. You hear preachers talking about how good God is, how grand God is, how glorious God is. Oh, the great God that'll never leave nor forsake you. And you're sitting there the whole time. Your heart is about to bust out of you and about to explode because you can't feel this God. I'm going to tell you one thing. Whether you can feel Him or not, you better trust Him. If it was on emotions... Now, I'm an emotional fella once in a while. Some days, I don't feel saved. But the fact remains that He saved my hell-deserving soul. And I've seen the God that saves. I know the God that strengthens. And I know He's got me in His school for a reason. The storm enters. The storm exists. But the storms explode. What did Job say? He was broken. If God's going to use you, He's going to break you. He's got the right belief. He fights his battles. But now he's broken. His life leads him to Gethsemane. Assembly leads him to Calvary. But thank God, not only do we see the God that saves, and the God that strengthens, and the God that schools, but he learns about the God that secures. Let him enter! I don't want them, but let them enter. Realize that they exist to help us. Let them explode! They will. For the simple reason to enlighten you. You would have had a hard time convincing Job that God wasn't real. People would have a hard time convincing some of you sitting right here tonight that the God we serve is not real. Now listen to me. Listen very carefully. I've heard this preached all my life. It ain't right, but I've heard it preached. You need to get back to that first love. Thought that'd get you quiet. Revelation chapter 2. He says to repent, return, get back to that first love. I got somewhat against thee. I've heard preachers tell it all over the country. You need to get back to the day God saved you. I don't want to go back to the day God saved me. No, no. Come too far to turn back now. Way back then, yonder, going on 36 years ago, God reached down, done a work in my heart, enlightened me, worked repentance in me, pulled me up, saved my hell-deserving soul. I got up and said, glory be unto God. I loved Him more that night than I ever have in my life. He was my first love then. But I love Him more tonight than I did 35 years ago. I've been through battles, been through trials, been through troubles, been through hell itself. And I'm going to tell you right now, dear friend, God has proved Himself over and over and over and over and over again that He's the God that walks through and breathes upon us and the God that will turn you around. And you don't lose it. He secures you and gets you ready to go. I wanted to do something in my church. God closed the door. And I got angry. Matter of fact, I almost went to the pulpit and just blamed the people. That's a long time ago, but I got better sense now. And I'm 60 years old now. And churches don't want old preachers. So I got to treat mine real good. But I wanted to do something, and it just stopped. They weren't against me. They didn't vote me down. They just said, my deacon said, preacher said, we'll do it if you want to do it. You're the pastor. But I said, let's think about this now. Well, I didn't think it was nothing to think about. And then I went home at night, and I said, well, and I got to think about what we were going to do. I said, well, it may interfere with, yeah. And if I'd have done what I wanted to do, God hadn't stopped it, I'd be in a mess today. God turned it around. God's got you where He's got you to enlighten you. You can hear your pastor preach every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. You go to Jubilee meetings, camp meetings, Bible conferences, revival meetings. You can go to anything you want to go. And you can hear of Him. You can hear the Word. You can hear it. You can hear it. You can hear it and hear it. But until you see it. And that's where Job's at. Man, you ought to have been out last night. I heard they had a blowout. Well, what'd you see? Did you get help? In the storm, Job says, thank God after Calvary there's resurrection. He's talking as a resurrected man here now. He's talking now about one that's living the resurrected life. See, what we usually do, and I'm just putting myself right there with you, not fussing at you. What we usually do is we live on what God used to do or what we want God to do. Very few of us, even here tonight, are living in the present tense God world. Man, preacher, you ought to have been here. What God done, what God used to do. What's He doing now? Well, not too long ago, I shut them up. Well, first of all, I didn't want to go in there and stay all night. That's one of the reasons I said it. But they said, you know what? I said, we used to have all-night prayer meetings. And I looked at them and I said, well, y'all want to do that now? Well, when are we used to? I'm sort of glad they didn't want to do it. I'm being honest. Boy, God used to do. But when you're on resurrection ground, it's the God that is. Don't you thank the God that's brought you from where He has? Don't you think He's God enough to carry you the rest of the way? What have you seen, Job? The God that saves. Let me tell you about my belief. He's a sovereign God. Boy, He administers grace where it's not deserved. He's a merciful God. He didn't give me what I did deserve. When the devil wanted to take me off the scene, God didn't allow it. He's got a hedge around Him, and the devil had to get permission to move it. Let me ask you a simple question. You think you could be called a servant of God, and God could trust you in the hands of the devil? This wasn't Job's sin. Job wasn't committing adultery. Job wasn't shacked up. Job wasn't a drunk. He wasn't on dope. He was doing right. Some of your roughest, toughest, deepest, darkest battles of your life will come when you're doing right. What you gonna do? I'm not just gonna hear about it. I'm going to see that He can do what He said He'd do. He's a God that strengthens. He's a God that schools. He's a God that secures. He looks to His beloved. And finally, Job says, "Now I see." He's the God that satisfies. He'll satisfy you. I'm satisfied with a whole lot of things. Some things I'm not satisfied with. But I've never been disappointed in my God. I've never been disappointed in Jesus, my Lord. I've never been disappointed. He's never promised me something He couldn't see through. I had a young man ask me at the graveside. He said, "Preacher, I was leaving my daddy's graveside. I'll never forget it." He said, "You preached your daddy's funeral." He said, "I could not have done it." I said, "Well, the grace of God will be sufficient if you need it, son." I preached my brother's funeral. He said, "I could not have done that." Same man. He said, "I could. How in the world could you do that?" I said, "It's the grace of God." I talked to a young man's mother in the hospital. She was dying. And he said, "I don't know what to tell her." And he said, "Mama's dying. She ain't get long. I wish you'd talk. She won't even remember." I said, "I'll be glad to go talk to her." And I looked at her, and the first thing I asked her, I called her name, and I said, "Ma'am, are you saved? Do you know the Lord?" Now, I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I believe in the responsibility of man.
Sure.
No doubt. Amen. And I said, "Do you know the Lord? Or does the Lord know you?"
Right.
And a little hand went up, and she said, "Yeah, preacher." I said, "How do you know you're going to heaven?" I thought maybe she may say she was a virgin when she got married. I've had that told me. That people. Oh, yeah, I'm just telling you what people told me. I had one tell me one night that she played the organ at the Methodist Church for 33 years. Never missed a Sunday. She was basing it on going to heaven. That little old lady looked at me and she said, "I'm going through the blood of Jesus Christ." Praise. You're talking about a preacher shouting in a room. You said that you hollered. No, to myself, standing deep inside, I said, "Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah." And I said, "You trusting in nothing but the blood of Christ to get you done. You repented of your sins. You called upon Him and He saved you." She said, "Yes, I did." I said, "How many years ago?" She said, "About 50. I said, "God brought you a long ways, hadn't He?" She said, "Yes, He has." I said, "Well, let me have a word of prayer with you and I'm going. You don't need me." What she was saying is, I've got satisfying grace. I don't know what you're up against. You may go into your doctor and you'll be feeling fine, and while he's yet speaking, what else can happen? While he's yet speaking, you get another report. While he's yet speaking, something else comes. But you better not just hear about this message. You better live this message. You better look to the God that saves. You better look to the God that secures. You better look to the God that satisfies. You better look to the God that schools. You better look to the God that strengthens, because when the storms enter in, you realize they do exist. They will explode for your enlightenment. But praise God, hallelujah, they do exit. You didn't think I was going to leave you hanging, did you? Someone says you're either going in a storm, you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. But I like to believe that there is a little bit of space in between going in and coming out. He's the God that knows it all. I could go on and on and on and tell you story after story after story. But God gave Job twice what he had, because he stayed by the stuff. We talk about people getting to the place, Brother Ken, where they say they want to throw in the towel. And I know we can use those expressions and do things, and you know, they want to throw, they just want to quit. I don't know about you, but there's been a few times that, you know, I could identify with that. I didn't, thank God. Perseverance. You. And we talk about Job wanting to throw in the towel. It got worse than that. He didn't want to quit. He wanted to die. Last time I looked, let me see your hand. Let me see. Last time I looked, and I think I'd see that all over the congregation. I don't see any wounds. Next time we start to complain, criticize. And I'm not belittling your pain. God knows. I hope you never have another one. I'm not belittling your troubles. I'm not belittling your valleys. You go through them. We've already seen that. But when you begin to question God, and Job did, why, in that next chapter. Why? He wanted to die. But the next time you want to question God, look to Calvary. Job says, He gave me my first breath. Least I can do is give Him my last. Job is in trouble in chapter 1, but he's thrilled in chapter 42. Job's fighting battles, first chapters, but he's blessed the last chapter. Job is questioning the first part of it. He's answering the last part of it. He may not have an answer to suit everybody, but he says, all you got to do is look at this God I serve. Look at this God. He'll take care of you. He'll see you through. Now here's what I told you. In preaching, you tell them what you're going to tell them. You tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. Somebody bound to get one of them. If I had a title for this message, it would be, What Did Job See? He saw the God that saves. He had the right belief and had a life that meant something. He realized that storms enter when you least expect it, while he was yet speaking. I don't know about you, brother, but sometimes when I get a phone call, the sound of it is different. And you hesitate to pick it up. They enter. He sees the God who strengthens his battles. You're going to have Gethsemane's. And realize the storms exist. He sees the God that schools. It's a learning process. Job's brokenness, his Calvary, the storm explodes. He sees the God that secures Job's beloved, his resurrection ground. He's enlightened in it. And the God that satisfied Job's blessings, his Pentecost. Thank God the storms do exit. Amen. We have a God tonight that dwells in thick darkness. When you can't find your way, He knows where you're at. When you don't know what to do, listen to me very carefully. When you don't know what to do, do nothing. When the storm enters, realize they exist. And when it explodes, thank God for the enlightenment. I don't know the time element. Don't know how long you may be going through a valley. Don't know what you're up against tonight. Some storms last longer than other storms. Some storms are more crucial than other storms. Some storms are more critical than other storms. Some storms have high winds and hails and the waters and the rains for days and days and days, and you can't figure it out. Some are tropical. Some is just a rain. And no matter how mild or how strong, if you're in the storm, it's major to you. My storm may not be your storm. God may be trying to show me something you already know. God may be trying to enlighten me in an area in my life that I need to be enlightened in. Know this, we never get too old. Don't you ever get to the place you think you're so mature that you know it all. Don't you ever get to the place someone can't tell you something. I learned a long time ago, it's all Him, not me. You know where I'd be tonight if God had not have stopped over at my place? I'd be on my way to hell. Thank God. I don't say this to brag. I say it out of shame. If God had not have saved me, I'd probably be laying in a ditch or something somewhere crawling. I was a drunk. Went to Vietnam, stayed drunk the whole time I was there, the whole year of 1966. God in His sovereign grace and His sovereign hand kept me away from drugs. You could get it on every corner, every street, anywhere you wanted, you could get it. But thank God I never got on them. Drank my weight in beer, alcohol, loved it. Didn't give God a thought except cussing Him. Came back home. Had a baby I hadn't seen in 4 months. She was born while I was in Vietnam. Got drunk before I got home. To my shame. Make a long story short, from 1967, 1968, to 1972. If you'd have took blood out of my veins, it would have been enough to send me to jail for being drunk. I didn't stay drunk the whole time, but it stayed in my body the whole time. Wretched. Vow. Didn't give God a thought. He got a wife that loves me. Had another baby. My boy was born on a Saturday. God saved me on a Monday. He's never seen me drink a drop. He hears me tell about this and he can't comprehend it. But God saved me. And God called me. And God worked grace in me that the bottle couldn't do. Running around couldn't do. And all the life that I thought the parties and all that couldn't do. And God showed me what it was. I didn't know John 3:16 was in the Gospel of John. I was ignorant of the Bible. Ignorant of God. Ignorant of anything spirit. I didn't know what beans about that. When I did go to church, it was so I could play on the softball team. You had to go 2 Sundays out of 6 so you could play when I was a child. Didn't know nothing about God. But God arrested me. And I'm going to tell you, I'm trying to tell it quick. I went by that tent meeting that night that they was having there in South Boston, Virginia. I told my brother-in-law, I said, I'll be by there. I'll talk to that preacher. I said, but I ain't getting saved. He said, all right. I said, I ain't coming to listen to no preacher. I'll come talk to him after the preaching. He said, okay. I had a 67 Chevelle. Had him in the floor and the big bolt and all that stuff. And I went by that tent and I pushed it up in third gear and went right on up that, stomped it and went right on up the road. I didn't have no vision. God didn't speak an audible voice to me. I didn't see no light at the end of the tunnel. I didn't get sick at my stomach. I didn't throw up. But it was a divine impression that said, turn around and get back down there. This, you may not agree with this. I didn't have to say a word. When I turned that car around, he said that, I saved. Not trying to confuse you. You don't have to believe. You don't have to. You can believe what you want. If I'd have never said a word, cause confession It's showing what's already taking place in that heart. And the Holy Ghost, glory to God, the Holy Ghost done a work and moved on me and pulled me up out of that muck and mire and set my feet on a solid rock. Give me something to live for, something to die for. Praise be unto God. He lives. He lives. He serves. Glory. Hey, preacher, have you had any storms? Have I had storms? God, help us. But He's a God that dwells in thick darkness. When I can't find my way, He takes me there.